Afternoon, everybody. Unfortunately, yesterday I spent a large portion of the day dealing with Shilas of Aninus, with questions of somebody who lost a relative. There was a reason why it was a little bit more complicated, the questions yesterday, than they were normally. But it got me working back on these unfortunate issues, and that is when we have somebody who is in Aninus while they are in the period after the family member has passed away and before the funeral takes place, the halacha is they are not allowed to perform any mitzvahs in that time period. The Pischei Tshuva on Yarudeya and Hilchas Abelis writes that the reason why the halacha is that they're not supposed to perform mitzvahs in that duration of time is because Hichmer HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Kavod HaMeitz Yoser Mikvodo Yizbarach. The Ribono Shel Olam gives more credence, gives more attention to the individual's respect, to the individual's honor, than he gives to his own. And therefore he says, put me aside, put all my mitzvahs aside, because I want you only to pay attention to the needs and the necessities of arranging the proper funeral service and making sure that all the hespedim are written and everything's done. So where is the source in the Gemara for this halacha of Aninus? The Gemara says, Sechas brachas daf yud zayin, misha meso muta lefanav, somebody who has, unfortunately, meso muta lefanav, that they are dealing with the unfortunate loss of a relative. So in that time period, while they're putting together the arrangements of the funeral, and while they're writing the hespedim, and while they're doing anything, Pater mi kriya shma, they are not obligated to say kriya shma, they are not obligated to daven, minat tfila, and they are not obligated to put on tefillin. And then the Gemara adds on, and we call mitzvahs ha'amuras batar. Not only are they pater from number one, kriya shma, number two, tefila, number three, tefillin, but they're also pater, they're also not obligated to do any mitzvah that comes up in that period of time. So the Rishonim already point out, why is it that the Gemara chooses these three examples? Why does the Gemara say Kriya Shema, Tefillah, and Tefillin more so than anything else? So some Rishonim say, maybe you'll say that they're only Pater from these three, but nothing else. There are those Rishonim who argue that they're only Pater from these three and nothing else. Why these three and nothing else? Because these three require our specific intention, our specific Kavana. When you're davening, you have to have Kavana for the words that you're saying. And therefore, a person who's Tarad B'machshavta, whose head is all over the place and thinking about the loss and trying to arrange a funeral, they're not going to be able to have the requisite kavana that's necessary in order to daven properly. Second of all, when a person says Kriya Shema, you have to have in mind to be Mekabel Ol Malcha Shamayim. Very difficult thing to do, to have kavana while you're in the middle of making all these arrangements. And third, when you wear tefillin, we have Halach of Hesachas. A person is not allowed to be Mesiach Das while they're wearing the tefillin. And therefore, there are some Rishonim who argue that these are the only three mitzvahs that an avel doesn't have to do, that an onin doesn't have to perform, because these three are ones which require a person to pay very careful attention while they're being performed. But any other mitzvah, like picking up an aveda that's lost in the middle of the street, you happen to pass somebody's hat that flew off, you happen to pass somebody's jacket in the middle of the street, why shouldn't you do the mitzvah of hashavas aveda? That's something that doesn't require so much attention. So there are those Rishonim who say you're pater from all other mitzvahs, but our general understanding is not so. We assume, like all the rest of the Rishonim who have the Girs and the Gemara, that Pater Mikol HaMitzvahs HaMuras B'Torah. During this period of Aninus, one is not obligated to do any mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's something that requires my attention, like Kriya Shema Tefillah or Tefillin, or whether it's something that really does not require a lot of attention. Either way, we assume a person is not obligated to do the mitzvah at that time period when they are, unfortunately, an Onin. The question that came up yesterday was, unfortunately, somebody lost a very close relative, and for whatever reason, the rest of the family members are not all religious, are not all orthodox, and therefore the funeral service is not going to take place until later on in the week. So the question is, do you say that for all the duration of that period of time, they should be considered an onen, and they should not perform any mitzvahs, they should not recite any brachas, they shouldn't put on tefillin, they shouldn't daven for, let's say it can be up to 3-4 days. Let's say you have other family members who decide they want to do it that way, which is what happened here. Are you going to say that a person should not put on tefillin for all that duration of time, even though I'm totally not involved in anything? Usually when we have a levaya, so I'm involved in making phone calls, I'm involved in the arrangements, I'm hiring the person to make sure that the grave is taken care of and the tachrichim are made and to make sure that everything's going to be done kedasu kedin. But over here, where the person who lost the relative is really not involved at all because it's being done by everybody else who's not even having an orthodox service at all, so there's really very little that I can do other than write the hesped I plan to say. So would you say in a case like that even after he does all of his preparations, let's say it's going to take him 2-3 hours to write the hesped, but now it's going to be finished, but now he has another 2-3 days to go, maybe you should say that his status of aninus is lifted? So that's what we were discussing yesterday. My father told us that it's a discussion in the Achronim, but he was of the opinion, like many Gedolia Achronim, that If you plan to attend the funeral services, you should have the status of an onen until the funeral is finished, until everything is completed. If you don't plan to attend, let's say you have sometimes people fly to Eretz Yisrael, but the rest of the family stays here. So you're no longer considered an onen if there's nothing more that you can possibly do. The pardon in Eretz Yisrael was done already. You don't plan to attend. And therefore, we assume that those who stay behind, maybe their status of aninus ends already once they go to the airport and everything is already on its way to Eretz Yisrael. But for those who are, let's say, on the plane, so you'll say, I'm flying on the plane. There's nothing I can do on the plane. I can't make a phone call. I wrote the hesped already because I gave the hesped in America. I'm going to give the same one in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing really that I can do to involve myself. Yet we assume, while the person is on the airplane also, my father was of the opinion, as are many other Gedolei Acharonim, that the person has the status of an onen even on the plane. Even though there's nothing really that they can do anymore, everything is already done, we still assume the person has the status of anina. So this was a very complicated story yesterday. It became more complicated because the question was the person themselves weren't really so religious. They weren't really Shomer Shabbos. So should maybe the status of aninus change a little bit when we're dealing with someone who's not really religious and didn't really respect any of this anyway? So my father came to the conclusion that no, because since the person was a tinuk shenishba, person, we cannot blame them. They weren't sent to yeshiva when they were younger. They didn't have a Jewish day school education at all. And they didn't have the opportunity to learn anything and really understand how to keep Shabbos and how to do the mitzvah. So you can't blame them for the fact that they happen not to know anything about Shmiras HaMitzvah. So therefore, we don't punish such a person. We don't say such a person doesn't deserve to have all the regular laws of Shiva and Avelus be carried out the same way everybody else would. And not only that, this person, even though they weren't really frum, even though they weren't religious, did sacrifice a lot for their child who did want to be religious. They had a child who decided to be religious. They sent the child to a Jewish day school. They sent the child to a yeshiva. They paid a lot of money to have this kid get an education. And now this child is a flourishing young man who has a family and is totally religious. So the father has tremendous chusim for that. So we assume the child does take on the regular status of aninus, and therefore we say that this child should not put on tefillin for the next few days, and he should not make brachas for the next few days, even though it's an extended period of time, but his status of aninus will linger until the funeral is complete and until the burial, which is going to be done, Kever Yisrael, is going to be done in the proper way. The son is considered to be an onen. The Rishonim have a discussion, why exactly do we assume that this halacha applies? Why is it that an onen should not perform any mitzvah? So Rashi writes, well, he's torahed. He's busy with doing whatever he has to do. And Rashi tells us that the same way an osek b'mitzvah is pater min ha-mitzvah, the same way while I'm engaged in one mitzvah, I don't go run off to do another mitzvah, so too over here, I'm an osek b'mitzvah, I'm involved in the mitzvah of burying the relative, of arranging the funeral parlor arrangements, or anything else that has to be done, of writing the hesped, or anything else that might be a kavod for the nifter. Therefore, we assume you're an osek b'mitzvah for the entire duration of time until the end of the levaya, and therefore we say that you are pater min ha-mitzvahs. Tosas disagrees. Tosas says nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Let's say you're not involved at all. You're not of the age that you can be involved. Let's say the person is 15 years old, so they're not going to give a hesped, and they're not going to arrange anything. All the older members of the family are going to take care of everything, so what are you going to say? I'm osik b'mitzvah, I'm not doing anything. So Tosas says that's not the reason why. Tosas says that the Yerushalmi writes that this is really learned out from a pasuk. The Yerushalmi says, leman tizkor, and then at the end it says, kol yemei chayecha, you have to keep the mitzvahs of Torah the entire duration of your life. Kol yemei chayecha, says the Yerushalmi, you only have to keep all the mitzvahs and do the mitzvahs HaTorah when you are engaged with Chaim, when you're doing interpersonal activities, when you're doing Ben Adam LaChaver mitzvahs. However, lo b'yamim shata osik b'meisim, says the Yerushalmi, in the days when you're dealing with burying the dead, in the days that you're dealing with people that are not Ben Adam LaChaver anymore, we're not dealing with a live person. Ben Adam LaChaver is all about reciprocity. It's only when you have a live person that can give back to you, you give back to them. Then we say, well, instead of dealing with the person, you should really be doing the mitzvah. However, says the Yerushalmi, when you're dealing with the Mason, when you're dealing with somebody, Gemilas Chasadim, to the level where we're not talking about Bein Adam LaChaver anymore, you're dealing with somebody who's no longer alive, in a case like that, we assume that the mitzvahs HaTorah fall by the wayside, and Tosas says, we learn it from this pasuk, Kol Yimei Chayecha, only be Yamashata, when you're dealing with the Hisaskus B'chayim, but not when you're being Osek B'Mason. That's what Tosas writes in the name of the Yerushalmi. There is another Machlokis HaRishonim. Let's say you have a person who's in a state of aninus. And in the middle of that period of aninus, when they are told not to do any mitzvahs, there's actually a beautiful piece in one of the books I once read from Rabbi Frand. I think it's the first essay that he has in one of his books. I don't remember which one. But you look through all of them, you'll find it. It's the first piece. So he writes a very beautiful article about when he was Aninos for his mother, and he was flying to Seattle, Washington from Baltimore, so it was a long flight, and he said he kept catching himself. He was making a shahakol before he took a drink on the airplane, and he was making a drink, he was making a bracha before he ate the peanuts and before he did everything else. So he said he kept catching himself and stopping himself in the middle. You're not supposed to make brachas, you're not supposed to do anything. So Rabbi Friend wrote an article how he... Rabbi Friend wrote in the article how he realized how little kavana he has whenever he makes brachas throughout the year. Because if he would only think for a second before he made a bracha, he would realize also that now's not the proper time to be making a bracha. So he said the period of Aninus taught him that we should be considering a little more, with a little bit more of a seriousness, what exactly we're doing when we make a bracha, when we say a tefillah. Don't just daven shmona esrei, don't just make a bracha. Think about what it is that you're doing and whether or not this is the proper time to be doing it and how exactly we should be doing it. So Rashi writes exactly the point you made. Rashi says, well, let's say I happen to be on the airplane and now I'm not doing anything and I'm not busy doing anything involved with the niftar at all. I'm not arranging the funeral arrangements. Rashi says, well, if you're not busy with anything else and you would like to make a bracha, so go ahead and make the bracha. You want to put on tefillin, go ahead and put on tefillin. Why not? And Tosafot says, absolutely not. You don't have a right to. If we tell you that you're not supposed to be putting on tefillin, if we tell you you're not supposed to be making a bracha, you have no right to volunteer to make the bracha. So this is a machlokas harishonim. So some suggest that this machlokas harishonim really depends on the earlier machlokas. This is the reason why a person who's an onen is not obligated to perform a mitzvah in that period of aninus. Rashi was of the opinion that the reason why is because you're an osik b'mitzvah. The halacha is osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. And therefore, since you're involved in this, we don't tell you to be involved in something else. So Rashi says, well, that's only when you don't have the ability to do both. But let's say you're in a situation where you do have the ability to do both. Rashi says, since the whole foundation of the halacha is because osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, that only applies when you're too busy that you can't do the other one. But when you're not too busy, when you're on the airplane and not doing anything, and not engaged at all in the fact that this person has to be buried, so Rashi would say, why not? Go ahead and do the mitzvah if you have time. But Tosa says, no. And the reason perhaps why Tosa says no is because Tosa says we learned this from a pasuk. Pasuk tells us, "Kol yemei chayecha," as we said, "Biyamim shata osek b'chayim." You only have an obligation to perform the mitzvah when the mitzvah haTorah, when you're engaged with bein adam lachaver, with other mitzvahs in the world. But when you're being osek b'meisim, when you're taking care of gemilas chasadim in the highest order, when you're doing the mitzvah of kvuras hameis, in a case like that, the Yerushalmi learns from a pasuk, you have no obligation to do the mitzvah at all. So Tosa learns, this is like Xeris HaKosa. We learn it from a Pasuk. Once it's learned from a Pasuk, we say you don't have the option to do something different than when the Pasuk instructs us. The Pasuk says, don't do the mitzvah in this time, and therefore the halacha is, you don't do it. What do you mean? If you decide you walk into the Beis HaMikdash one day and you say, I want to do the Avodah, so you don't have a right to, right? The Torah says you don't have a right. So over here also, Tosa says...
I have a right to do a mitzvah. Not to say I remember by my own, when my mother died, I remember I got a knock on the door because
she
came from where they have people stuck.
Yeah.
So I told the Rebbe, said, if you give Siddak, is...
Uh-huh. So again, maybe we'll talk in the coming days about some of the exceptions, but the Ramah, it's a very unsettling Ramah. It's not a conclusive Ramah, because the Ramah writes in Aruch Chaim and Siman Ayin Aleph, the Ramah says that if an onen wants, he has the right to volunteer to do the mitzvah, like the opinion of Rashi. Why not? Osek mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah just means you don't have to do the other one, but if you have the ability to do both, you may as well do both. So if you're making the arrangements, and then an oni knocks on the door, it's only going to take you 3 minutes to go give him the money. So why not go ahead and do it? That's the psak of the Ramah in Aruch Chaim. You look at the psak in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeo in Hilchos Avelos, there the Ramah seems to say that you don't have the right. You don't have the right to go ahead and be machmir. The Torah says you're not supposed to be doing a mitzvah at this time. It means you should not be engaged in anything else other than making the arrangements for the funeral to make sure that the proper kavod of the nifter is going to be met and that's going to be done. So that's a major issue. How exactly do we pass? The Shulchan Aruch itself seems to be unclear about what the psak is, and it's a machlokas of Rishonim exactly which way to go. So this is a big question, as maybe we'll talk in the coming days about some exceptions to the rule. Someone asked me yesterday, what would an onen do about lighting Neiros Chanukah? Should Neiros Chanukah be any different? Should Sfiras HaOmer be any different? Should Birchas HaMazon be any different? Maybe we'll talk about these exceptions, but I see it's already time for Mincha, so we'll stop here. Yeah.